So if we're desiring God's presence, to have intimacy with God, a deep relationship, you know, God's word tells us to draw near to him and he will draw near to us. I've often thought about how awesome it would be to still have Jesus here on earth. Who's ever thought about this? To still have Jesus here on earth, physically walking the earth during our age. It would be just awesome to be physically in his presence. And one day that will happen when he comes back. But we're waiting for that. But I have news for you. Jesus isn't here on earth physically. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's a person, second person, the triune God, the Trinity of God. But who is here right now on earth? The Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the triune God. When Jesus ascended to the Father, the angels appeared to the disciples and looked at them, the disciples, and said, he has gone back to the Father, and he's not coming back until he comes back the same way you've seen him ascended among the clouds. And that is the second coming that we are waiting for. But the person, the triune God, who's been here for the last 2,000 years, is the Holy Spirit. And you know what I personally think? He is the most neglected person in the church. He is too often treated like the third wheel. Let me just ask you a question. How many times do you get in your car and you start driving and you're the only person, you're alone in the car, and you're thinking while you're driving, say 20 minutes, and you don't say a word to the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you, if one of your friends is sitting with you, passenger seat there, and you're driving for 20 minutes, wouldn't you say at least one word to your friend in that 20 minutes? But how often do we get in the car and we drive and we don't say one word to the Holy Spirit? I mean, can you imagine if I'm home just with my wife, Lisa, and I the whole day and I didn't say a single word to her, not one word? I would never do that. I'd never do that. But we do that with the Holy Spirit. How many times do we go through even a whole day without even saying a word to him? He may be the most ignored person in the church. And I think it comes down to maybe the image that we have of him. We see the Holy Spirit as fire or wind or some other kind of smoke. But no, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, he has a mind. That's Romans 8:27. He has a will just like any person, 1 Corinthians 12:11. He has emotions, Romans 15:30. He speaks, Hebrews 3:7. He speaks clearly in 1 Timothy 4. He teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He could be grieved and be insulted. We read about that in Hebrews 10:29. And he can be lied to, as we read in the book of Acts. You know, our first impression of the Holy Spirit may be shaped when the pastor comes up on stage behind the pulpit and announces that I'm going to do a series on the Holy Spirit, and then suddenly on the screen there's a picture of a dove. I'm guilty of this. There's a picture of a dove. But you know what? The Holy Spirit, he's not a bird. You know, the Gospels say he descended on Jesus like a dove, but that does not make him a dove, right? And we make statements that he sounds like the wind, but he's not the wind. The book of Revelation even says the Holy Spirit was fire in front of the throne room. Well, in the same book of Revelation, it says that Jesus is a lamb, but Jesus is not a four-footed animal, right? He's a man, the God-man. So why do we make the Holy Spirit into a dove? Why? Why do we think about fire, wind, and these things? We've got to understand that he's a person. He is a person. He is the third person in the Trinity of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And in fact, he's one of the most wonderful persons. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image." God didn't say, "Let me make man in my image." He said, "Let us." Who is us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what Psalm 104, verse 30 says? He says, "When you send forth your spirit, they are created." When you send forth your spirit, they are created. It's the Holy Spirit that we're created by, formed by. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Notice Paul assigns the grace to Jesus Christ, and thank God for that grace. Then he assigns the love to whom? God the Father. But he assigns fellowship to who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The dictionary defines fellowship as companionship or company. So may the companionship, listen to this, may the companionship or the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. May the company of the Holy Spirit be with you. Do you know what companions do? They interact with one another. Companions interact with one another. It's not a one-sided thing. There's interaction going on here. They keep each other informed. They talk to one another. If you look at the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verses 20 to 23, it says, "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me." Could you imagine being Paul and hearing the Holy Spirit say that in the next city you will be put in jail, you'll be in prison, and there'll be suffering? No, it's something I wouldn't want to do, would you? But Paul remains obedient. He does what God commands him to do. Why? Because he knows the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he understands that is the best way that he can go about his ministry. And he trusts that the Holy Spirit will protect him, guide him, be with him the whole time and never leave him. If you look at Philip, remember Philip? Philip's in the middle of a big, big move of God in Samaria. And in Acts chapter 8, an angel of the Lord instructs Philip to leave his ministry and from Samaria and to go out into the desert, the road connecting Jerusalem to Gaza. And following this, the Holy Spirit guides Philip to approach a chariot carrying an Ethiopian eunuch reading the word of God, a high-ranking official who's reading the book of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit says, "Go to him, speak with him." And then Philip converts him to Christianity and ends up baptizing him. And this is kind of amazing to me. The early church was so familiar with the Holy Spirit's voice, his presence, that Philip could actually recognize the difference between the angel of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. I mean, can you imagine, you know, Luke writing the book of Acts and Philip goes, no, wait one moment, Luke. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that told me to go out in the desert. That was actually an angel of the Lord. But then when I was in the desert, it was the Holy Spirit who told me to go speak to that man in the chariot. They were so used to interacting with the Holy Spirit that they could recognize, they could tell the difference between his voice and someone else's. You know, I recognize the voice of my wife. This summer we'll be celebrating 19 years anniversary. And if I hear her voice in another room or in an aisle in the grocery store, I can go, okay, I know that my wife's over there. I know her voice. I recognize her voice. You know, Paul's entire team, as they were on their missionary journey in Acts chapter 16, while traveling through Phrygia and Galatia, the Holy Spirit forbade them from going to preach in Asia. And later they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not allow them. You know, we notice in the book of Acts, in the early church, time and time again, that they're interacting with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to them on a constant basis, and they're obedient. Why is that? He is the third person of the triune God who's here on earth. So why do we ignore him? Why do we not have companion fellowship with him, interaction with him on a daily basis? And it's so important that we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit today and every single day, guys. Okay, so what does that mean? To have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, companionship, communion with the Holy Spirit. It means that we exchange our thoughts and our feelings with him. You know, before I worked full-time in ministry, I worked in a repair shop called, a company called ACT Equipment. And I was in a repair shop fixing pneumatic, electrical, and even hydraulic equipment. And there was this room in the repair shop that you'd go alone to wash parts. You know, you have this brush and a fountain and liquid, and you got a gas mask on and ear protection because the compressor was right next to you. And this was like a prayer room where I would just speak to the Holy Spirit, you know. During my time at ACT, that's when God renewed my faith. He called me back to follow him, and I just started praying, you know, in this room. And that's actually where God started to put those first callings of ministry, full-time ministry, in my heart. And it's throughout the day the Holy Spirit is with us, guys, to have fellowship with him. And we learn to hear his voice. So if you're getting up today, and even if you just don't feel like you're in love with Jesus, because there are times where you just don't have even that emotion, because you've had a really busy week, you've been distracted, or you're down, and you guys, you can just talk, you can tell that to the Holy Spirit. You can say, man, I need you, Holy Spirit, to put that emotion of love in my heart right now towards Christ, because I do love him, and I want to be obedient to him and follow him, but I just need that emotion right now of love towards my Savior. And you know what? He gives it to you. That's happened to me before in my life, where he puts that love, that emotion in my heart for Christ. To interact with him, share things with him. Don't hesitate to do it. Whatever it may be, he's your companion. You know, think about your best friend and how you can be just vulnerable with your best friend. Perhaps it's your spouse or a fellow brother or sister, and you can just be vulnerable, totally transparent with your best friend, and there's times of intimacy. You know, that's what it is to be intimate with the Holy Spirit, totally transparent, because there is nothing hidden from him. He is God. And you can bring all things before him. To share the most inner things in your heart and feelings with him. And you know what the wonderful thing is? The Holy Spirit is someone you can completely 110% trust. He will not betray you. You can be completely honest and vulnerable with him. And that connection is on another level, because you're connecting with God. You know, David in Psalm 62 says, pour your heart out to God. Be vulnerable with him. It's Psalm 62, verse 8. It says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Did you hear that? God is a refuge for us. The Old Testament saints cry out, can you find out the deep things of God? That's in Job 11. And the answer comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. It says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. We can know the deep things of God because of our companionship, our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We are sharing together our fellowship, our time with him. You know, a definition of fellowship is to partner with or joint participation. And I love this example in the book of Acts. We read the apostles writing in this letter, and they say, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." That's in Acts 15, 28. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." And I love this because you have the two parties here. You have the Holy Spirit and us. And they said it seemed good to both parties. That's partnership, joint participation right there, guys. It's amazing that God partners with us. If you look at Abraham and his life in the Old Testament, and God comes down and he says, "I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but not first without talking to my servant Abraham." You know, this is the partnership that we are to experience when we walk in humility and walk in holy fear with God. This is the partnership that he desires for us today and tomorrow and every day. Fellowship is intimacy. To get into the deep things of God, we need the Spirit. And this word describes a communion with the Holy Spirit better than any other word, intimacy with him. It sums it all up. Intimacy is achieved through communication. That's the way we develop intimacy in our lives, with our spouses, with our friends. It's communication. It's the same with God. I mean, we're talking about a life of intimacy with God, guys, to be in his presence. And if you're going to be intimate with God, there needs to be communication. Learning to listen to his voice and speaking to him, communicating to you. How does the Spirit of God communicate with you? I was talking about this last night with my wife as we were having a sauna together. How does the Lord speak to you? How does the Holy Spirit speak to you? I want to take a moment, just think about that. How does the Holy Spirit speak to you? How do you hear his voice? You know, I know one of the ways that he talks to me, I think to everybody, is through the Scriptures. Through God's word. You know, there's other ways too that God speaks to them. I was just speaking with Mimi before the service here at the piano, and she was sharing with me how God speaks to her through dreams. You know, people have visions or words of knowledge. You know, we have this inner voice. He speaks to our inner being. With me, it's so often when I'm reading the Scriptures and I pray and ask, "Holy Spirit, speak to me through your word. Open up your word to me." And he does that. And that's one of the primary ways I hear the Spirit's voice, is through the Scriptures. He opens my eyes and teaches me things through God's word. And he does that with all of us, I believe. And he speaks to me also with that inner being, that voice. And you just kind of develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit, you learn to differentiate between his voice and our own thoughts. And it comes through intimate relationship time with him throughout the years. I want to read 2 Corinthians again, chapter 13, 14, but this time with the Message translation. I just love the words used here. Says, "The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Do you have that intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit today? Do you desire that intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit? Well, I got good news for you. It is ready and available for you. Today, right now. I love what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Notice the capital H, that's speaking of the Holy Spirit, "to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." In you, guys. Now, this is so important. This is so important. Okay? We've talked about obedience in the past messages of being presence of God and intimate with God. We've talked about obedience, how it's one of the central things of being in his presence. Obedience to God is like number one. And he gives his Spirit to those who obey him. He gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And again, we're finding that obedience is the center of this intimate relationship with God. And when Jesus said, "I'm going to give you another helper," I'm going to give you another helper, the Greek word used for another is allos, A-L-L-O-S. And now there are two Greek terms that are used in Scripture to translate another. It's allos and heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S. And this is very important for us to understand. Allos means another of the same kind. Okay, another of the same kind, while heteros is another of a different kind. Another of a different kind. So let me explain it to you like this. If I give you a banana, a piece of fruit, a banana to eat, and you just go, "Wow, that is so good. I love that banana. Can I have another?" I say, "Yes," and I hand you another banana. That is another of a same kind, right? But say I hand you an apple, then that is another piece of fruit, but a different kind, right? So that kind of gives you an idea of the different terms. The Greek word that Jesus uses is allos, which means another of the same kind, which means the Holy Spirit is going to be like Jesus, right? Now, when he says, "I give you another helper," the word helper is parakletos, which means one who is called alongside to help, or advocate, or counselor. And Jesus is also called parakletos in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. So this word parakletos, it means that he is the one who is called to another side to help, to aid him. So Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit, he's going to teach you all about me. He's going to reveal me to you. There are things that I want to say to you that I can't say to you because he can't handle them until the Spirit of God comes. When he comes, then I will show you the deeper things that you can understand. You know, if you look at Peter and Paul, it's pretty interesting because Peter walked with Jesus physically on this earth for 3.5 years. 3.5 amazing years being a disciple and walking with Jesus and learning from him, following him. And I imagine a lot of these references of Peter went back to his physical walk with Jesus. But Paul comes along who never physically walked on earth with Jesus Christ. And he makes a statement. Paul says, "We don't know Jesus after the flesh." He said, "We know him by the Spirit of God." And if you look at Paul, he was able to go into relationship with Jesus that actually caused Peter to go, "Wow, the wisdom God has given Paul is amazing. The intimacy that Paul has is amazing that he has with Christ." And this is, you know, Peter writes about this in 2 Peter. You know, it's just awesome that Paul got to know Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's actually been a blessing to us that God hasn't physically appeared to us. If you look at the days of Jesus, if you wanted to go to Jesus to ask a question, you had to physically travel to where he was. You know, then you had to make your way through a crowd to reach him and perhaps listen to Jesus finish teaching and get to him before you could ask him a question. But with the Holy Spirit, he's ready to answer your question today at any moment. At any time of the day, he doesn't need to sleep. He can answer, say, 5 million people's question at the exact same time. And this is why Jesus actually said that it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. It's better for you to have the Holy Spirit around. Why? Because you can go into a deeper level of intimacy with Jesus and with the Father by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. You know, we often think and say, I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. Whose prayer is this? Who thinks this? I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I think that's all of us. We often think, how do I do this? You know, Lord, give me more of the Holy Spirit. And that's a good thing to pray and ask. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is always with you. He is close to you. He is in you. If you've confessed your sins and you've asked for forgiveness and repented and you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and there's salvation in him, you've been spiritually born again. And God says he's put his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. You know, Ezekiel 36:26-27 says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit that I will put within you. And I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You know, these are the prophetic words that have come to pass through the work of the cross of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When we come to the cross of Jesus Christ and repent of our sins and turn to him, we're made new, guys. We're given a new heart, a new creation, and he puts the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. So why does it feel like we can't get close at times? Because we need to surrender more. We need to be obedient. We need to surrender more and take on this mindset of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible warns us not to what? Not to quench the Spirit. The Bible warns us not to walk in what? Not to walk in the flesh, to walk in the Spirit, guys. So let's not ignore the Holy Spirit. Let's not treat the Holy Spirit like a third wheel. But to seek to have a mindset of a fellowship, communion, companionship with him daily. So if you're seeking the presence of God to be more intimate with God, if you're seeking to be more in this Holy Spirit's presence, to have more of him in your life, then have fellowship with him. Have fellowship with him. Talk to him. Share your thoughts, your emotions with him. Be vulnerable with him. When you're alone in the car, you're not alone in the car. The Holy Spirit is there. You can speak to him. He speaks to you. But do you have ears to hear? Are you listening? So I want to encourage you guys, have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Because he is God. And he dwells in you. If you are in Christ, he dwells in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that you have given each and every believer who has come to the cross of Jesus Christ, who has confessed their sins, who have repented and turned away from sin and turned to you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. And thank you, Lord, that all who come to Christ are born again, and you have put your living Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in us. So, Lord, help us to walk in step with the Spirit, to not walk in the flesh, to walk in the Spirit daily, not to quench the Spirit, but to have fellowship, communion, intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And teach us, Lord, to recognize your voice, Holy Spirit, to listen and to speak with you, to communicate and have companionship. Lord, thank you that, like your word says, as we seek and draw near to you, you draw near to us. So, Lord, may we just in 2026 deepen our intimate relationship with you, to know you more. And we just pray that you would not hide your face from us, but draw near to us as we draw near to you. You're such a good God. You're such a good God, and we worship you. We lift your name up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for your encouraging word this morning that reminds us that you are with us every moment of the day, and that we can take time to be with you at any moment. So, Lord, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for every person here. May your hand be upon them. May your Holy Spirit lead them, speak to them, to all of us, and guide us. As we close, I want to say a blessing and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Together we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.